Welcome to Turn In Your Hymnal To. I'm Rex Bridges, and today we'll be looking into the background story of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, 1739. When an Anglican clergyman turned Methodist collaborates with a Christianized Jew, something unusual is bound to happen. The Methodist preacher was Charles Wesley, a minister of the Church of England who, with his preacher Oxford professor brother John, were joint founders of the Methodist Church. The Jew is Felix Mendelssohn, whose father Abraham added Bartholdy to the family name since it was his desire that his children be raised as Protestant Christians. But the collaboration was purely accidental. By the time Charles Wesley reached his 31st birthday, he had had more than his share of adventure and travel. As secretary to General Oglethorpe, he had made a journey to the new colony of Georgia, remaining in the New World almost a year. He and John returned to England with heavy and disillusioned hearts. Following John's quote-unquote heartwarming in a little prayer meeting on London's Aldersgate Street in early May 1738, Charles had a similar experience on May 20th, 1738. And from that day, he sang the praise of God with fluency and power, writing more than 6,500 of the noblest hymns in the English language. In 1739, the year after he quote-unquote consciously believed, he wrote a poem of some 10 four-line stanzas in which he expressed his joy in the Christian faith. The first stanza read, "Hark how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." In that form, it was published that same year in Hymns and Sacred Poems. 14 years later, George Whitefield, an associate of the Wesleys in their evangelistic labors, and one of the most powerful preachers ever to visit the Americas, took the liberty of editing Charles' hymn for a collection he was planning to publish. He altered the first stanza to the form in which it is sung today, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." Further alterations by interested poets and editors polished off several more rough spots, but this Christmas hymn, in its essence still Wesley's, is perhaps the most popular English hymn in the world. As for 31-year-old Felix Mendelssohn, writing a hymn tune was the farthest thing from his mind when he composed his Festgesang No. 7 in 1840. His music was written for a celebration commemorating the anniversary of the discovery of printing. Even the great Gutenberg himself could hardly have pictured his revolutionary discovery as the inspiration for a world-famous Christmas carol. And the composer even had this to say about his music, "I think there ought to be other words to it. If the right ones are hit, I'm sure that piece will be liked very much, but it will never do to sacred words." Doctor of Music William H. Cummings showed the German musician how wrong he was. In 1855, 15 years after the composer had penned his work, Dr. Cummings set it to Wesley's equally famous stanzas, and thus a perfect Christmas hymn was born. While Mendelssohn considered his work a secular piece, Christians the world over compare it with passages from his sacred oratorio Elijah and number it among his finest sacred compositions. The universal favor in which this magnificent hymn is held is attested by the fact that it is the only one of Charles Wesley's thousands that is included in the Book of Common Prayer of the Church of England. Be that as it may, it has found a lasting place in the hearts of believers the world over, who will be singing it for as many Christmases in the future as there were between the time of the birth of Jesus and the writing of the original stanzas in 1739.
Thank you.
This has been Rex Bridges, reading from Living Stories of Famous Hymns by Ernest K. Emurian. Copyright 1955 by Baker Bookhouse Company. Used by permission of Baker Bookhouse Company.